Thank you. I'm quite comfortable being called grandma. don't be shy. After all, part of my reason for coming here back to Seattle is because I have two grandsons, along with other family, I mean, husband and children, but the grandsons, yeah, definitely. I'm known as Bubby. Mm-hmm. My 1.5-year-old grandson can now say Bubby, no problem. So it's so delightful to be here, delightful to be back at the Blue Heron Zen community, see these old friends, old Dharma, I don't know, colleagues, conquistadors comes to mind for no particular reason. But this has been my Dharma home for many, many years. So I thought I would talk a little bit just to maybe share with you some of my explorations and discoveries coming from this Sangha that's so thoroughly rooted in the Korean lineage of Zen training. I picked up everything and went to do a takeover of a Rinzai Japanese Zen Center. It's just been a wonderful discovery, experiment, creative practicing that I would really like to share with you, share what that's been like. Most of you know that this Sangha here is a part of the Golden Wind Zen Order, yes? Mm-hmm. So this was started by our Jongbong Sansas and my teacher Jibong Sansa. Some of you remember him. Many of you do. And when this Sangha left the Quantum School of Zen, Jibong Sansa established a new Zen order, Golden Wind Zen Order. So people have been asking me in Albuquerque, what's that? Are we a part of the Golden Wind Zen Order, and what does that mean? And I thought I'd just talk about some of the conversations we've been having, that I've been having in my own head about that. But I'd like to start with a quote from a very famous Japanese poet, Isa, 19th century. And I've always been fond of this very short poem. It goes like this. The man pulling radishes points the way with a radish. This is deep wisdom and very profound teaching. The man pulling radishes points the way with a radish. It's easily apparent what this signifies. By virtue of who we are and what we're doing, this is the way we point the way to the Dharma. It's not just the man pulling radishes, but the culture that comes in, the world that comes in, the times that comes in. And so we give it the radish different names according to our circumstances. And that can be, we can call that the Golden Wind Zen Order in some ways. Primary characteristic of Zen in the way it's been transmitted is mind as mind to mind transmission, heart to heart. Transmission. I know you, you know me. This is transmission. There can be thousands of books about Zen, but it's when we meet each other completely and work together that we have mind-to-mind transmission. It's just like with the same case with raising children. There may be thousands and thousands of theories and books written about how to do it. But there's only that child that you have and the parent that you are. Whether or not you have children, you can apply that in similar ways. So this is mind-to-mind transmission, as Bodhidharma, whether he existed or not, famously said outside the sutras, pointing directly to mind. So this has nothing to do with East or West, Korean, Japanese, Caucasian, American, all those things. Nothing to do with that. There are many different lineage tracks. I think that it's wonderful that we can recite a lineage and we can know and be able to call up who our teachers were. This is very precious. Very, very precious. For new students, it's a good way to find out, okay, who did this teacher come from? Chambang Sansa. He's so wonderful. I'd like to know where he came from, what his teaching was. Where did he learn? So we can track that through a lineage. But on the other hand, the lineage is especially maybe now in contemporary Western culture are many. I know my very first big influence in Zen was to read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And I think that's true for a number of people. There are certain books that just kind of spark something. And then we're in it for life. Like that. So that's also our lineage. I heard recently about, I'm not sure which Japanese lineage it is, but when people take precepts, they become a part of that lineage and are listed according to the, like, number 81 or something in a lineage. And I thought that was very lovely in a way. So it's not just teachers. It's the students as well. We're all of a generation. And that can be kind of nice to track. These are my parents, my Zen parents. I think that one of the reflections that I've had lately is, you know, people in Albuquerque, when I moved down there, they're concerned how I was going to shake things up. Were we all going to suddenly wear gray robes and do Korean things? I don't know what they were worried about, but I did shake things up a little bit. Yeah. I think that what came to light for me is that there's a difference between the substance of a teaching and the culture of that surrounds the teaching. A difference between the sort of structural foundation points of a teaching and the overlaying dress culture. And as I sat with this new Sangha, I felt it was important to be able to differentiate that. We have the same teaching, same practice. What is critical to maintain that? And what is possible to shift? So for us, and I think perhaps a reason why we have such a thing as the Golden Wind Zen Order is that different sanghas within that larger group share a common practice structure. Maybe we don't have the same forms, but we have the same core elements of practice. Substance, truth, and function. Don't know mind. before thinking mind. All of these. Going back to Buddha's original teaching, the world is full of turmoil, tragedy, suffering. And we get into these loops of perpetuating the suffering, karma, habit, energy. There is a way to find release, to stop and look at that reality. If we can stop and look, then it's possible to transform that karma. I just listed the Four Noble Truths, by the way. So one of the advantages of exploring other, for me, to explore deeply another lineage tradition is to find where the language is pointing to the same thing, the same foundational elements. For me, as a teacher and a practitioner, it's valuable to be able to hear that commonality, that common structure, common foundation to practice. So that I can, you know, it's like going to Rome when in Rome speak Italian. It's obvious. And on some level, but it's a little bit of a challenge sometimes because we get used to certain words. So it's good exercise to find that commonality. And I think Qigong Sansa's vision of creating the Golden Wind Zen Order, one of the key things that he told me about, and you know, those of us who are here, is that let's not do everything the same way. So the Sangha in LA can have, in Long Beach, can have a certain way. That's fine. The Sangha in Albuquerque will have a different way, etc., etc. But the main principles remain the same. That's what binds us together, and also that we know each other. And hopefully you'll all come down to Albuquerque. Albuquerqueans will come up here. And everybody will get to know each other. Specifically between Korean and Japanese Rinzai, we have more in common than you might realize. One is the koan. Now I'm used to saying koan instead of konan. We have the koan training tradition. And that's a feature. I mean, Rinzai, I only found this out recently. Maybe everybody else knew this. Mm-hmm. But Rinzai means Lin Chi. It refers to Lin Chi. Mm-hmm. And that is our Korean heritage. But the flavor is different. The culture is different. So when I came to Albuquerque, had a very strict Rinzai tradition. You step into the Zendo with your left foot, perish the thought you should make a mistake and step in with your right foot. Never wear a hat. A lot of little things like that. And I just started crossing them out. there were a number of things that I changed fairly soon about the culture. One thing was that walking meditation in Albuquerque, they step out of the Zendo, hang a right, and start practically running around the Zendo. Some people have short legs. Some people are old. Some people are not well enough to do that. This is the kind of obvious, to hear me say it, it sounds obvious, right? But habit energy goes in all kinds of directions, doesn't it? all kinds of directions. So for me, this primary foundational teaching of substance, truth, and function, I'm sitting in Albuquerque, doing the practice, and then looking around, seeing what the situation is. Okay, we're walking at breakneck speed. Is this necessary? Finding our fitting function. Like that. So for me, it's just been fun. It's been very interesting. Very lively. Culture is not just about who we are as Americans. I just want to point out that Korean culture has influenced me deeply. Some of you may have heard, where's Julie? Oh, there you are. correct me if I'm wrong, the Korea, they're like the Italians of the East. Lively, outspoken, no hesitation about, no pulling punches. And I love that. I love that. That really fits my cultural heritage, my background. And it certainly gives a flavor to how things are carried out. And this Sangha, I know all of you know, even if you're fairly new here, you could sense this no posing. People are friendly, welcoming. And when you talk to people, you see that people are going to be real with you, one way or another. It's kind of funny or ironic in a way to say, be real with you. Because it seems like, wait a minute, isn't that Zen? So I feel very proud of the cultural heritage of what was here. I didn't start practicing in this Sangha, I started on the East Coast. But truly, Sung San, the founding teacher of the Quantum School, of Korean Zen, most of the Korean Zen that happens in this country, he in particular was something of a free spirit, had a flamboyance that I felt really comfortable with. So when I started practicing Zen in Rhode Island, I didn't feel any need to shop around. This was my place. When I moved here to Seattle with my family, I was really quite moved to find that it had this culture, this similar culture of friendliness. Not fanciness, not strictness, not tightness. And a little bit of strictness is good. It's good for you. Goodness. But mostly very, very friendly. Very welcome. So I've been, in Albuquerque, shifting things a bit in that way. I think that Sung San, just to point out that Sung San changed so many things about the formality of Zen when he came here. He changed a lot from the way things were done in Korea. He just, in the same way I'm describing, although probably in a bigger way, the same way I'm describing stepping into a Japanese Rinzai world, he stepped into an American world where the culture was so radically different, and he saw that certain things about American culture, very strong I, my, me culture, individualistic, way of thinking. So he immediately created this together action phenomenon where we actually chant together, which was so nice to experience this morning. Really nice. So a little side note, it's been hard to introduce our chanting when I'm the only one who knows it. You know, to be in a room with this many practitioners, and I'm doing the, even just the Heart Sutra, which only has a few, you know, ups and downs, it's hard going. So please come to Albuquerque, give me some support. Anyway, Sung San made a lot of innovations to match what he saw was needed in American culture. But a part of that is, I don't know if I should say, limited, or it's circumscribed by personality and his own way of being in the world. Which was somewhat like, I've heard it said that if he had taken another path and gone into the army full bore, never practiced then, he would have been an army general. So he was kind of like an army general in Zen. But in terms of culture, you know, we have the common foundation of the practice, and we have the differing cultures. But on top of that, we also have the different personalities of the teachers and the practitioners. So Jibong Sansa, for those of you who knew him, he was a brilliant professor, retired now, but he had a brilliant mind, and really taught us a lot about the history of Zen. All the main figures, was able to make a lot of fascinating and helpful connections about Buddhism. It was very enriching. I think my style has been more along the arts. I find that I will bring up art metaphors more. So my style of teaching, I'll often say Zen is creativity. Creativity is Zen. Jongbong Sansa, Paul Popsanin, you are already familiar with their uniqueness and their special flavor that they bring to the culture. And this is a precious thing, very precious thing. So I'm so glad that this Sangha is thriving, clearly thriving. And the teachers you have, I already know, they are a great gift for this community. I wanted to end with, some of you have heard me offer this quote before because I'm so fond of it. It's from Fa Yan, 9th, 10th century Chinese teacher. He was the founder of the fifth and last of the houses, the five houses of Zen. And this is from his 10 guidelines for the Chan school. If you memorize slogans, you are unable to make subtle adaptations according to the situation. It is not that there is no way to teach insight to learners, but once you have learned a way, it is essential that you get it to work completely. If you just stick to your teacher's school and memorize slogans, this is not enlightenment. It is a part of intellectual knowledge. That is why it is said, when your perception only equals that of your teacher, you lessen your teacher's virtue by half. When your perception goes beyond the teacher, only then can you express the teacher's teaching. I think this is really important. What does that mean? Only when your perception goes beyond the teacher, only then can you express the teacher's teaching. I don't feel that this means better than, wiser than. I think this means becoming yourself, integrating who you are in your provisional body package. Integrating that with this foundational primary teaching. Wake up, save all beings from suffering. So we're in a beautiful experiment. And I hope we can integrate not only who we are as individuals with this tradition, but integrate all the layers of teachers and figures of inspiration that we've had. Integrate all of it through your own voice. Then truly Zen will stay alive and be of service. Hopefully for 10,000 years to be exact.